continues with more interviews and great conversation to get you through the night on News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto and CJAD 800 in Montreal. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on CJAD and CFRB. And joining us on the program right now is Dr. Lloyd Watts, who is the author of The Flow of Time and Money, and talking about how to survive the current hard economic times. And this is some of the economic times that people haven't seen for a very, very long time. Hello, Dr. Watts. How are you?
Hello, Peter. I'm just fine. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Thanks for being on the program with us. I would assume that at the time you wrote this book, you could not have anticipated what is happening right now, or could you?
It's, you know, pretty hard to say. Predicting the future is tough, but we saw a stock market boom in the 1990s, and things when they get above historic levels, they've got to come down sooner or later. The real estate market through from 2000 up to about 2006 or so had just gotten unreasonably high. So there were a lot of people that were saying, even as of 2006 or so, how much higher can it go? Can it possibly continue like that? So, I think there were a lot of people that were saying this, we must be near the top here. I think there were quite a lot of people that were thinking it had to top out sooner or later. I think the interesting thing, obviously now is, what will the recovery pattern be? How long will it take before money starts flowing back into the market? So, those are tough questions. And, in fact, the key to the book is, having a set of safe guiding principles to help determine what you should do, both in good times and in bad. In general, if I can continue, the general idea of living within your means, making investments that don't overextend you, avoiding debt, not gambling, in the form of, real estate speculation, the way it was being practiced from 2003 to 2007 or so, a lot of people were just buying houses to flip them. That's very different from sound real estate cash flow investing. So, avoiding debt, avoiding gambling, and, making investments that are really sound, those are the principles of safe growth.
Now, the times that we're going through right now, let's go back a little bit. You are a California entrepreneur, and you also work in the Silicon Valley.
Yes, that's right.
On a smaller kind of level, this is a little bit of deja vu for you, isn't it? Because there was that Silicon Valley bust kind of way in a couple of years, or the dot-com bust, basically.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's in sense that what I was trying to say earlier on. I lived through that first boom and bust, 1993 to 1999 or 2000 or so. Watched that whole thing happen inside the industry that I was in, and then I've had the pleasure of watching it happen again. This time with real estate from 2000 to 2006 or so. And in fact, there's some really interesting similarities between the two, and they both exhibited real bubble behavior. To me, it's fascinating to look at the underlying causes underneath the two different bubbles. They both had different reasons for coming into being, but the net behavior was the same. A speculative fury that was driven by something real in the beginning resulted in people piling on in a greater fool kind of way, trying to flip things where the value was growing just because the value was growing. The momentum in the market started to take over, and sooner or later, as in all bubbles, eventually it has to come down.
Some of the things that you expose on in your book, The Flow of Time and Money, How to Create a Full and Prosperous Life, are these lessons learned from that dot-com bust?
No, I'm proud to say they're not, actually. In many ways, I've avoided both of the bubbles. I watched them as they were happening, but because I couldn't see fundamental reasons for the stock market growing the way that it was, my tendency is to sit out of situations like that. And there were people that were putting large amounts of money into stocks that, to me, just didn't make sense. I couldn't see the inherent value in them, so I stayed out of that market. And the net result was I didn't participate in the speculative growth, which a lot of people enjoyed doing, but then I wasn't left holding the bag either when the stock prices fell. For me, at that time, I was following the principles that I was outlining in the book, so I wasn't getting sucked into these bubbles. Instead, I was investing in different stages of my life in different small deals, and then later on in a big deal. So I can outline the process of that. That the process of growing wealth involves four stages: youth and education, accumulating capital, small deals, and big deals. Through the 90s and 80s, I was doing my first small deals, which was a real estate play, investing in a patent that I licensed to Cisco, and the third one was stock options in a company that I worked at. And finally, after I'd prepared the ground with those ones, staying out of the stock market in the conventional bubble way, at that point I was prepared to start my own company, which I did in the year 2000. And over the last 7 years, while other people have been speculating in real estate, I've been growing a company, which is turning out to be doing very well. So I've kind of stayed out of the crazy speculative bubbles, and I've been adding value and creating value as an entrepreneur in a way that just makes sense to me.
When you look at how you've grown your business, what exactly is the business you started in 2000?
Oh, yes. It's a company called Audience, and we make cell phone noise reduction systems. So when I first started the company in 2000, it was after a long period of doing research in the field that I was studying, of electrical engineering, trying to build machines that could hear the way human beings do. And in 2000, I formed the company, continuing on the research, and it took several years to finally develop the product with the management team that we ultimately brought in. That is it's a two microphone noise reduction system for cell phones. So it took about 4 or 5 years to get the company really going, and in the last several years we've managed to get traction. So this is what I consider a big deal in my book. Big deal in the sense that it involves a lot of people. You know, we now have a team of about 65 employees. It involves a lot of money. We've raised a lot of venture capital. And a lot of time. It was 6 or 7 years to do it. So these are the principles of doing a big deal are it takes a lot of time, people, and money to get the thing off the ground. But I'm proud to say that this has been successful. And while other people have been speculating in real estate and ultimately losing in real estate, I've been creating value with my colleagues, fellow management team, investors, and employees, and creating real value in an extremely exciting industry.
I'm reminded of the days of the gold rush, when everyone seemed to head west looking for gold. Everyone was under the impression that they were going to get rich, but the ones who really got rich were not the ones who went looking for gold. They were the ones who decided they were going to sell pickaxes.
Yeah, selling the shovels to the people digging for the gold. Right. Well, you know, I think you're expressing a really valid sentiment there. You know, the herd, as it goes, you know, where prices are being driven up by the herd, that's the fuel that causes the speculative bubble to occur. I prefer to look for things where there's an opportunity to add real value in some way where I can make an individual difference or my company can make a difference. I tend to be a person that focuses on fundamentals, and I believe in living within my means. So, you know, I live more modestly than I need to. But one of the beauties of that approach is that it allows me to have capital available to invest when good opportunities show up, and it gives me an insurance policy. When things go bad, it means that I have a fairly long survival time so that I can ride out a long winter. So it's both a good offensive and a defensive strategy to have capital that you can rely on for investment and for just surviving tough times.
We are talking with Dr. Lloyd Watts, who is the author of The Flow of Time and Money. How to Create a Full and Prosperous Life. By the way, you can check out his website, which is flowoftimeandmoney.com. You can go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com. Click on the What's On page for tonight's date. You'll find links to Lloyd's website, also links to amazon.com, where you can order the book directly. We'll take a quick break, and we'll continue talking with Dr. Lloyd here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800 and News Talk 1010 CFRB Toronto.
Canada's favorite overnight talk show continues with Peter Anthony Holder on CJAD 800 in Montreal and News Talk 1010 CFRB in Toronto.
And we are talking to Dr. Lloyd Watts, the author of The Flow of Time and Money, How to Create a Full and Prosperous Life here on CJAD and CFRB. A lot of people who have written books like yourself, been through the trials and tribulations of business, have had some stumbling blocks on the way, along the way. I'm assuming you have as well?
Yes, I certainly have. You know, it's not easy to build a real business. And, you know, it took me about 8 years to get from founding of the company to shipping and selling products successfully. First several years of the company, you know, it was we were doing something new. Technology development is tough, and we were doing something that had never been done before. It took about 4 years for us to really define the direction we were going to go in, where we could access the large and exciting market that we decided on eventually was the cell phone market, and then another couple of years with the new team. So, there's always ups and downs. Fortunately, I had developed really good relationships with my investors, and they believed in me, and they believed in the team, and were willing to back us through those tough times. So, you know, while we talk about time and money management, they're essential, but in fact, it's people underneath it all that make it work. You know, if you have good relationships with people who believe in you, you can, you know, you can get through the tough times.
Now, I understand you advocate the idea of transferring at least 10% of your income into a separate account, even at a different institution than your bank. Why?
Yes. Well, in the early days when people are transitioning from being saver and spenders, you know, people that are just sort of wiping out their savings for, you know, to buy new things, when you're transitioning from that into getting your money off the ground, you're actually trying to accumulate wealth for the purpose of investing. It's very tempting for people to want to spend the money once they reach a certain amount. Once you get a few thousand dollars in your bank account, and then it starts burning a hole in your pocket. You want to buy a new TV or go on a vacation or something. The purpose of having the investing account in a different institution is so that you'll transfer the money in there and never transfer it out. Now, that's confusing and counterintuitive to a lot of people. They think, well, you know, if I've accumulated some money, shouldn't I enjoy it now? You know, life is short. Eat dessert first, right? But the idea of putting it aside, you have to give people a reason why they should put it aside. The thing that I find that helps people understand it is you're putting the money aside not so you can spend that money. You're going to spend that money's children. You're going to put that money to work for you. It's going to make new money, and you'll spend the children of that money. So you have to, you know, you have to think differently about it. And in order for that money to accumulate to a large enough amount that you can start investing it so that it can have children for you, you have to get it to a large amount, you know, enough for a down payment on a property, for example, right? In order to get it that large, you have to leave it alone. So psychologically, people find it easier if you put the money in a separate institution. Like, I happen to use Charles Schwab as a place to put my investing account, and I keep my conventional banking, my checking and my savings account in Wells Fargo. That happens to be how I do it. But that means that transferring money out of the Schwab account, that's something I only do when I'm making an investment in something. So I know the difference between placing that money as an investment somewhere versus pulling it out to just spend it on something that I want to have.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So there are also some tips I understand you have. For instance, first of all, strong financial education is important. and not having a fear in numbers and accounting. But the one that caught my eye, the ability to defer gratification.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's essential. And I'm seeing evidence of it all the time that people these days are wanting to be successful quickly. You know, it's always been true. The people want to be successful quickly. And in my experience, you know, success is possible. It doesn't take, you know, it doesn't take a huge amount of time, but you have to be willing to put some time into it. And while you're in the process of building your success, you have to be able to defer the desire for looking successful early on. You know, people want to look successful right at the beginning. In my view, I would rather, defer the lavish lifestyle for a while until I feel that I've really earned it. That deferring of gratification is a very common theme among people who have become successful. That idea is documented in a book called The Millionaire Mind and The Millionaire Next Door.
Or also The Wealthy Barber here in Canada.
Yes, that's right. I've read that book, and that also advocates some of those very same principles. All of those have the same general idea that deferring gratification is an important part of placing the foundation for future success.
I've always used the analogy, why not just get yourself a fully loaded Pontiac as opposed to a Cadillac? They're virtually the same car.
Yes. Well, in fact, actually, I talk about that story in my book. When I was growing my company, I was driving an old Mazda RX-7 for a while, and then when we finally got our Series A financing, that was our first venture capital round of about $5 million into the company, then I bought a Kia Amante. You know, I didn't go out and buy a BMW or a Mercedes. Not that those aren't great cars, but those are expensive cars, and I needed something that, you know, I could take board members to and from the airport and, you know, look like I was starting to achieve some success. But I really wanted to still keep an eye, and basically I wanted to continue living below my means. And right now, you know, when times get tough, as they are right now, boy, are you glad you've been living below your means. You know, not taking on debt, keeping your spending low. You know, it's so easy to keep your spending low, but cutting your spending back when you've been used to spending a lot is very difficult for people. So I prefer to just, you know, keep it modest, spend what I need, enjoy my life, but not take on excess debt. Not that I don't take on any debt, and you know, keep my expenses modest. There'll be plenty of time. You know, my company is doing very well, and there'll be plenty of time to enjoy the fruits of that hard work.
Mm. Again, the book is called The Flow of Time and Money, How to Create a Full and Prosperous Life. It's written by Dr. Lloyd Watts. You can check out the website, which is flowoftimeandmoney.com. That's www.flowoftimeandmoney.com. You could actually go to my website, peteranthonyholder.com, click on the What's On page for tonight's date, and you'll find links to Lloyd's website and also amazon.com, where you can order the book directly. I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us this morning. So I take it you're not panicking as what you see happening all around you happens all around you.
No, as a matter of fact, there's big opportunities happening right now, and I'm not panicking. I'm prepared and able to ride through the cold winter, as we call it down here in Silicon Valley. It's going to be a tough time, but we've got the resources to ride through it. And in fact, companies that come through these times end up being extremely strong.
Now, you
survive these winters, and you're in good shape.
Admittedly, you're a relatively young man. What if you were going through this and you were, say, 62 right now?
Let's see. I'm hoping that by 62, I'll be on my third or fourth, you know, big deal.
Right.
So, you know, but once you've done one big deal successfully, you're in relatively good shape. If you were trying to start this process at 62, it's still possible to do, but it does take energy and it does take long-term thinking. So, you can start at any age, but you do need to be prepared to be in it for a while.
Okay. Again, the book is called The Flow of Time, rather, and Money. That's The Flow of Time and Money, How to Create a Full and Prosperous Life, written by Dr. Lloyd Watts. Thank you very much for being on the program with us, sir.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. And on the other side, a double heaping helping of stuff from the CJD and CFRB file. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJD 800 and News Talk 1010, CFRB Toronto.